You're listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. Governor Ron DeSantis drew a map that could potentially give the GOP 4 additional U.S. House seats by reducing Democratic-leaning districts. This controversial mid-decade redistricting started after President Trump said he wanted more Republican representatives. Usually, redistricting happens every 10 years to reflect the official census population count. On Wednesday, during the special session called by the governor, the Florida legislature approved his new congressional maps that could take effect before the November midterm elections and Florida's August primaries. As that debate and vote was happening in Tallahassee yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision on voting rights that changes how states can draw those districts. Central Florida Public Media elections and investigations reporter Sam Stockbridge joins Engage to walk us through the political implications and how it could shape our region. So, Sam, you have spent hours following this special session this week very closely. Just bring us up to speed on what's happened and where things stand now.
Yeah, absolutely. The short of the matter is that this happened all really fast. State lawmakers got their first look at the map on Monday, and the first committee votes came on Tuesday, and by Wednesday afternoon, both the Florida House and the Senate had approved the map, redrawing the congressional districts, sending them back to Governor Ron DeSantis to be signed into law.
Okay, a very quick process. So what are some of the significant changes for Central Florida districts?
Well, a big one is, you might remember from our earlier programming, that Osceola County voters have been represented by Democrat Darren Soto for nearly a decade. The new map makes some pretty big changes there. Once signed into law, District 9 would be extended about twice as far south as it is right now, and it would include Okeechobee, Indian River, Glades, and Highland counties. It'll also lose some of its coverage area for South Orlando voters. Now, this is significant because these changes effectively eliminate the only Hispanic-majority Democratic congressional seat in Florida, which has been held by Soto for 9 years. Those Democratic-leaning voters have been split up. To give this some more context, Republicans currently hold 20 of Florida's 28 congressional seats. With these new maps, the GOP is given an advantage in 4 more districts, meaning Republicans could possibly end up with 85% of the seats representing Florida in Washington, D.C.
Okay, Sam, I want to go back to what you were talking about with Central Florida's 9th congressional district being the lone Hispanic-majority Democratic congressional seat. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 says that maps cannot unfairly weaken the voices of minority voters. Yesterday, at the same time that this was playing out in Florida, in a split decision, the conservative majority U.S. Supreme Court decided a Louisiana map that created a majority black district was unconstitutional racial gerrymandering because it relied on race too much. So, Sam, can you explain, how does that federal decision on voting rights impact what Florida lawmakers can do in drawing maps here?
Yeah, well, this also gets really interesting because in 2010, Floridians voted to amend the state constitution here to protect voters from gerrymandering on a few fronts, including the same racial fronts that are protected under the Voting Rights Act. The Fair District Amendments here in Florida explicitly ban gerrymandering that favors one party over another, and they also add protections for minority representation that mimic the Voting Rights Acts. DeSantis believes the move by the Supreme Court in Louisiana v. Calais invalidates all of those state amendments. Critics of the new maps, including nonpartisan voting advocacy groups, have said that the new ruling doesn't allow lawmakers here to ignore the state constitution. Here's Amy Keith with Common Cause Florida.
You know, the Calais ruling does not strike down the Florida Fair District Amendment and does not change the fact that states have a right to make partisan gerrymandering illegal, and partisan gerrymandering is illegal in Florida. As the people made it in 2010.
Republicans were mostly silent during floor debate on Wednesday, but the handful that did speak in favor of the new maps said the court's ruling justified the decision to ignore race.
So, Sam, have we heard from the governor on this?
Yeah, we have. In fact, DeSantis has argued that because the amendments didn't include what's called a severability clause to clarify that the protections stand independently, if one of them gets struck down, everything in the amendments would be invalid.
Another thing to consider, there was no severability provision included in the fair districting amendments when they were passed by the voters in 2010. That's unlike, for example, the term limit citizen initiative that passed in the 90s, the one that said there are going to be term limits for members of Congress and for members of the Florida legislature.
Democrats, including South Orlando Representative Rita Harris, in turn have argued that that strategy runs counter to the changes that a strong majority of Florida voters approved in 2010.
We know that Floridians expect and demand a fair process for redistricting because they voted on it. Our constituents voted on it overwhelmingly. Nothing in the governor's supposed justification for this map has any meaningful addressing.
Okay, so what does this all mean for Central Florida voters? Are they going to see new districts, new candidates, maybe new confusion?
Yeah, the new maps are almost certainly going to cause a lot of confusion for voters, candidates, and election supervisors. For voters and candidates here in Central Florida, they won't necessarily be in the same districts as they were in 2024. Current representatives, including Darren Soto, will have to get to know the issues animating new counties, communities, and voters that are in their districts now. And many voters will need to learn or relearn who they'll see on their ballots on Election Day. And for county officials throughout Florida, they'll be scrambling to understand those changes and to help keep their voters informed. The new maps could force them to move polling precincts. And in Florida, if you vote in person at the wrong precinct on Election Day, your ballot won't be counted. Doing all of that for county election workers will cost money and extra hours from staff. The new maps in Florida will also result in lawsuits. Several voting advocacy groups have signaled interest in challenging the new maps in court because of all of those complications. And a judge looking at the lawsuit could decide that it's simply too close to the election to use the new maps and revert to using the existing maps for this year's midterms.
So you're saying after all of this, we could still end up with the same maps we were using last time?
Basically, yeah. Although keeping the existing maps wouldn't necessarily undo any confusion or money that got spent in the meantime. But again, nobody really knows what will happen until then. DeSantis has a conservative state Supreme Court filled almost entirely with his appointees, and that court was sympathetic to his voting maps last year, limiting the scope of the Fair District Amendments even back then. Candidates have about a month left until the filing deadline, so the clock is ticking for this clarity to come on what's actually happening for the midterms.
Central Florida Public Media Elections and Investigations reporter Sam Stockbridge, thank you for walking us through all of that.
Thanks for having me.